How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 233 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head out to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review. Once you're on that page, if you're feeling generous, 5 stars is always nice, and you can write one in, which always helps with the ratings as well. And find us on audioboom.com. You can log on to normantranscript.com, see my blog, Thunder Road there, normantranscript/sports, normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road. I'm on vacation right now, as listeners of the podcast or readers or whomever you might be. As you might know, I'm on vacation. I'm not writing right now. That's until Monday the 14th. That's when I'm going to start writing again. But for now, no writing. That blog is going to be dormant. You can go, you can start checking that next week and start seeing all my writing from there. Until then, though, no writing, just the podcast, Tuesdays and Thursdays, like it's been. I have John Hamm on the podcast today, many-time guest John Hamm. But before I get to John, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices. Fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy tickets to the Yankee game I'm going on Friday, Yankees Red Sox, with my dad and my brother. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONBA. That's L-O like locked on. That's the promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. A quick break, and then let's get to that conversation with John.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I'm sitting here. I'm all alone. Someone else is all alone, but he happens to be on the other end of the line. That someone else is John Hamm. John Hamm, this is your 48th time on the podcast. How are you?
I thought it was 49, but I mean, who's keeping count at this point, right?
It could be 49. Apparently you are.
It is a high number, probably higher than it should be.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's they say numbers don't say things, people say things, but mm-hmm. This number says John Hamm has too much free time.
Pretty much.
That's all it does. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Free time's a good thing. We're happy.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you. I speak for all the people at Locked On Thunder. And all the people at Locked On Thunder are just me. So I speak for all the people at Locked On Thunder when I say we're happy to have you here.
Good. That sounds like a multiple person disorder, but
that would be the least of my problems.
It would explain a lot.
It would explain a ton. It would explain like the variety of style of gamers that I've written. How like they jump from goofy to like super analytical. It's just like, wait, did the same person write this?
Right.
So yeah,
it's making sense now.
It's all finally coming together.
Yeah.
How's your off season going?
Off-season, not bad. Not bad. I am, you know, I kind of feel like I've caught my breath a little bit. I don't feel like I am, like, always on guard for some, you know, like, breaking thing that I've got to think through. It's kind of nice right now.
It sounds sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm home. I've been home for a little bit, and you feel kind of removed when you go home, you know? Like, I feel so removed from basketball and so removed from work. And I've been home in New York for a little bit, and I feel like the NBA is, like, not a thing I'm a part of anymore. You know what I mean? Like, we're on the fringes right. of the NBA all the time, and now I'm coming back, and I'm seeing, like, you know, friends from growing up, and, you know, they want to talk about basketball, and I feel like a basketball fan again. I feel right. like a kid again, John. I feel like a kid again.
And, you know, before you know it, the season's going to be here again.
Is it? Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
I didn't realize that was how it works. I thought it was once I knew it, the season would be here. I didn't realize it was before I would know.
Before you know it. I mean, yeah. I mean, you think you know it, but then right before you know it, the season's here. It's that sudden.
What comes sooner, before you know it or by the time you turn around? Which one's
before sooner? Before you know you're going to turn around. I think that's the earliest point in time that is... that is mere microseconds before.
Oh my God, I've had some bad podcasts lately, but I gotta say, we're pacing to be the worst one. So, congrats to us.
We are. Keep listening, folks. Keep going. We've got some stuff coming your way.
You know what?
You just wait.
I don't think this is what a podcast host is supposed to say, but. If you have some self-respect, if you're a longtime listener of this podcast, whatever, just like, you know, just you can turn it off here. It's fine. You're not going to lose me. It's okay. I'll still be back the next week. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, it's it's, you know, this is what happens in August. We do have stuff to discuss, though. There are things to discuss.
Yeah, there are.
Let's talk about Mexico.
Let's talk about it.
It's warm down there this time of year.
It is. There is a presently uninhibited path between the United States and Mexico.
The Thunder will not be able to play against the Nets in Mexico City because there will be a wall they just won't be able to get by.
Yeah. They'll just have to just turn the plane around and head back and, yeah.
So it was announced by the Thunder and by the Nets and by the NBA that the NBA would be playing two games, December 7th and December 9th, in Mexico City for the upcoming season. The Thunder are playing the December 7th game. The Nets are playing in both of them. The Thunder are just playing December 7th. That's against Brooklyn. Cool thing, the NBA does, you know, one or two games in Mexico City every year as part of kind of an outreach to help popularize the game in Mexico specifically, obviously, but also in parts of Latin America. Where they're really trying to grow the game. Obviously, the NBA has really become a global sport, and it's globalized in a lot of countries in Europe. Obviously, it's super popular in parts of Eastern Europe, and then in France and in Spain, and you know, it's growing even in countries like Belgium and Germany and all that. And there's more that I'm not even naming. And obviously, then there's China, and they're really trying to conquer the Asian market as well. But they haven't really made that much. What's the term I'm looking for? That much headway. Into mm-hmm. the Latin American market. Basketball is really not that popular in a large market that's really mostly consumed with baseball and with soccer and
football.
Yes, football. I apologize. Football. With an accent on the U.
Yes.
But they still do this game every year. It's a cool event, and the Thunder are going to be playing in it. And that's I think it should be fun. I get a trip to Mexico City now, which is going to be a cool thing.
There you go. Population, what, 20 million? Is that what we're at now?
I think it's the largest. Isn't it the largest metropolitan area of any North American city? Does that sound right?
That sounds right. That's strange. According to the Google, it's 8.8 million people in 2010, but that seems low.
I think that's just the city, though, not the surrounding area. That's probably just the urban area. But the actual metropolitan area is much larger.
That sounds right.
I think we can.
Yeah.
We can
21. Yeah, 21 million. Yeah, Royce, we're on this, bud. we're doing Royce's thing now. Yeah, 21 million according to the Metro. So that's a lot of people. It's a lot of people in the metro area.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically a New York. I mean, if you're talking about like the tri-state area, which is, you know, not just New York City, it's also in northern New Jersey and in suburbs in and around New York, Long Island, Westchester, all that stuff. I mean, that's 20 some odd million too. So that's basically a market size the size of New York. So if you're able to take a market like that and turn that into a basketball market, that's a big deal. And the NBA is obviously a long way away from there, but that's a big deal, and it's easy to get to in that the time zone makes sense. Like, I've always thought that people talk about how at some point, whether in the NFL, whether in the NBA, there's going to be a team, and people talk about there being like an NFL team in London or something, that like there's going to be a team overseas, or even, I'm not a soccer fan really, so I can't speak to this with any sort of, any sort of like intelligent analysis. I can't add anything to the conversation on this, but people speculate that like you have like a Premier League team in New York or Washington, D.C. or something like that, that could be a possibility in 25 years from now. The biggest issue in terms of practicality is not necessarily the length of the trip, though. It's not that you're going to end up having potentially a 9-hour flight between games. The greatest issue in putting a team, say, in London is really the time difference. And there are obviously other ones, too. There are currency issues, which is obviously something teams had to work out when they have teams in Canada. And there are, like, issues in signing free agents, because a lot of people probably aren't going to want to move, you know, halfway across the world to go play for another team when they could stay in the U.S. or at least stay, you know, close enough to their family to which they're within one or two or three time zones. The issue is time zones, and the reason that Mexico City provides a really nice possibility for putting a professional team there is because it's in that time zone. It's far. I mean, it's far south, and the flight isn't necessarily easy, especially for teams that are like, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, like a team like Portland or a team like Toronto or something like that. That's a super long flight, but at least from a time difference standpoint, like, you don't have to deal with that jet lag as badly. So Mexico City to me has always been the most intuitive answer to, like, if you're saying there is going to be a team overseas that the NBA is going to put there, which one is it going to be? Like, I guess this technically is not overseas because it's connected to the U.S., but in another country, where is it going to be? I've always thought, like, Mexico City was the most intuitive place to put it.
Yep. And so, and think about this in terms of this one game from the Thunder standpoint. So they're going to play the Brooklyn Nets, and apparently this will be a quote-unquote Brooklyn Nets home game. Therefore, the Thunder will not lose an Oklahoma City home game as part of this. But I looked it up earlier. I think it's like 1,100 miles from Oklahoma City to Mexico City. And it's roughly the same distance to New York. So, I mean, from Oklahoma City standpoint, I mean, it's the same travel. They're just going south. And as long as, you know, they don't have to turn around and fly to Boston for the next game 2 days later, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal.
No, and it's the same time zone, right? Isn't it right. Central time zone, right?
Central time zone. Yep.
Yep. So that's the easiest part of it. There's another part of this storyline. Like, yeah, Thunder going to play one game in Mexico City. It's not going to throw them off their game or something. It's not like when teams go to China in the preseason or something and they kind of have a lag after that. It's not like that. It's a cool thing for the league. It's a cool promotional thing for the league. And it's a cool thing for the people who get to go in there. And that's probably about it. But there is another thing, because everybody might not get to go. I've put in some calls about this. I haven't been able to hear anything back. But as of the most recent update that I have on Enes Kanter, he does not have a reentry permit to be able to leave the U.S. and come back into the U.S. So as of the time we're recording this, which is, it is 5:25 Eastern time, PM right now, on, what day is it? Wednesday, August 8th. There we go. Nice. Enes Kanter, so as of this time, the information that I have, and I will report information if I get more of it, and I've reached out to people to see if I can get more of it, and people don't seem to be able to provide me with more of an update than they already have, which leads me to believe that he hasn't gotten the reentry permit yet. And if he hasn't gotten a reentry permit, and that's something that can take a little while, reentry permit is something to remind people, Enes Kanter had his passport canceled by his home country, Turkey, and that's the only passport that he has. So in order for him to be able to leave the U.S. and come back into the U.S. to actually be able to travel, he needs a federally issued document called a reentry permit, which allows him to leave the U.S. and come back in. Now, that's something that the U.S. government has given out. This is not like a special thing that would be created for Enes Kanter. The U.S. government gives this out to people who are in Kanter's position. I mean, people who have had their passports canceled by their home country for reasons that the U.S. deems not legitimate. And Kanter certainly falls in that category, but sometimes it takes a little time to get the reentry permit. Sometimes it takes 6 months, 12 months to end up getting this. And Kanter, I don't know when he applied. I don't know if he has technically even applied yet. I don't know where they are in that process. I know Kanter said that was something he wanted to apply for, but I don't know where they are in the process of getting something like that done. And this game is in December. This game is not like in April. This is not at the very end of the year. This is in December. This is in the first 2 months of the season. As of now, I don't think Enes Kanter would be able to go to that game and play in that game in Mexico City.
And this would apply to Toronto as well.
No, it would not apply to Toronto.
Okay.
Because the U.S. and Canada have an agreement that if you have a green card, that is good enough to get you in and out of Canada.
Okay.
But the U.S. does not have that agreement with Mexico.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's something that could be an issue for Kanter.
Could be. Could be. He might, I don't know, he might have, there's an opportunity for did not play rest.
Yes. Did not play, you might have the first DM double P. Did not play passport.
Dakari, you're up. Pack your bags, you're going to Mexico.
Yeah, it's a crazy, this is something that like, we talked about this as a possibility at the time. What happens if the Thunder have to leave the country for whatever reason?
Yeah.
And it was an unlikely thing, because why would the Thunder have to leave the country? He was going to be okay with Toronto in all likelihood because the U.S. has good enough relations with Canada. If the U.S. doesn't screw that up too, of course, in the next couple of months. But the U.S. has good enough relations with Canada that they're, you know, they're, he's okay for that. But now all of a sudden this is a storyline, and it might end up working out. He might end up getting it. You know, it might end up being fine. He's still got 3 months. You know, to my knowledge, being able to get this takes as long. Like, once you have it, you have it. You know, it's not like once you have it, there's 6 months of processing and there's no way he could potentially get it. For all I know, he could end up getting this soon. For all I know, he's already gotten it. And the people who have told me weren't sure enough, or I've spoken to, weren't sure enough on the details to be able to tell me for sure that he has it. But at least the most recent update that I've gotten, and I reached out to people today, and people today said who I spoke to said they weren't sure and that they would look into it for me and they would get back to me. But as of the last time that they had heard, he had not received a document like that. He had not received that reentry permit. And that's something. It's something to look out for. It's a real storyline because, it's one game against the Nets that even without Enes Kanter, the Thunder would be favored in. And the Thunder... And what's a nice little thing is that the Thunder now really have, as opposed to 41 road games and 41 home games, they have 41 home games, 40 road games, and a neutral site game. And you have to imagine, honestly, there'll probably be more Thunder fans than there will be Nets fans at that game. Although you probably say the same thing about Barclays. But
I was going to say, last year was a neutral site game in Brooklyn, was it not?
Last year was a home game.
Yeah, it was pretty pro Russell Westbrook from what I can recall.
Russell Westbrook got a standing ovation.
Yeah,
a standing ovation when he got the triple double in Brooklyn last year. That was a home game. They were cheering for triple doubles. Everyone there just wanted to come to see a triple double. So yeah, maybe it's a downgrade, honestly, from what it was in Barclays. Maybe they should want to play in Barclays. I was upset because I it'll be really cool to go to Mexico City, but you know who's the most upset about this?
You.
Not me specifically.
Oh.
My mother.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, okay.
I was at lunch with my mom. I was at lunch with my mom. I was like, oh, the Thunder are playing Mexico City. And I thought, oh, they're playing the Nets. And then I kind of put it together. I was like, oh, mom, you know, I'm not going to be home for when they play the Nets now this year. And my mom gets really excited because she gets the two games. You know, she gets when they play the Knicks, when they play the Nets. And now they're not coming back to play the Nets. Just going to play the Knicks. And now she's very, very mad at Adam Silver.
She ought to send a sternly worded letter his direction and just let him know about it.
Well, I think the NBA is done with sternly worded letters in their commissioner's office. I think they're going with silver ones.
Yeah, try that. Try that. Yeah, it's interesting because some of the early stuff I read, and I think it was just speculation, was that it was going to be a Thunder home game. And so they would only have 40 here in Oklahoma City, but that's since been clarified that that's not the case. So interesting how that happened. So I think Phoenix did this last year, if my memory is working correct. I think they had two games in Mexico City, and I forget if they split them as a road game and a home game, or how they worked it last year.
Can we talk about the real important news too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Steven Adams shaved his mustache.
Yeah, it'll be back tomorrow. I'm not worried about it.
He really might be back tomorrow. You see this photo that Enes Kanter tweeted out?
I did. And yeah, it's kind of strange because the long hair is still there. A lot of people have commented that it looks very much like Antonio Banderas. I saw similarities to Jon Snow, the character from Game of Thrones. It's shocking. We haven't seen that in a few years.
I know. You know, you kind of I ended up going down like the Steven Adams YouTube rabbit hole recently when I was watching. I watched he's doing this golf tournament in New Zealand, and I watched the video that he did for it, this interview that he did for it. And it just kind of went to the next thing, and it was Steven Adams, like, interview highlights. And I ended up just sitting down and watching it. And some of them were old, like young Steven Adams. You forget, like, what his face looks like. I feel like, yeah, mm-hmm. I haven't seen his face in years. Like, this is the most we've seen his face in years. And yeah. I stare at his face every day. You just don't see it. He's got the long hair, and he's always got the beard or the mustache or something. And really, for the last 6 or 8 months, it's been the beard, too. And, like, now it's like, oh, yeah, that's what Steven Adams looks like.
Yeah, I know. It's been covered in fur for a while. Very interesting. But, yeah, it does make me think. I mean, look, it's August 9th, and training camp opens in, what, a month? Month-ish. It could be back by then.
Oh, yeah. It could be back. For sure. If I can grow a beard by then, Steven Adams can grow a beard by then. I can't really do the mustache, though. I get, like, it doesn't grow in thick enough. Like, Steven could get that, like, handlebars going. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it, but it's not quite thick enough. It can't get long enough. It just kind of gets to a length, and it just kind of stops. It starts curling under my lip. It's really unattractive for everybody involved. It's a really horrible sight.
You and I have that curly hair issue that we have to deal with. That it leads to these types of problems that those those straight haired people just don't understand.
That's true. Steven has these flowing locks that I don't have that.
Yep, never could because anytime I tried to do that, it just straight afro. It just looked like an extra on Welcome Back, Cotter.
How are you feeling about Russell Westbrook's extension? Where are you standing with this? It's August 9th right now. It's been over a month and a week. It's been over 5 weeks. He hasn't signed it. I haven't gotten an indication that he's signing it anytime soon. The indication that I continue to get from the Thunder is that, and the term that I've been using consistently this offseason, is that the organization is cautiously optimistic that Westbrook is going to sign that thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a little skeptical, just because it hasn't happened. And I'm asking everybody that I can why it hasn't happened. Like, what is leading to the optimism? And the answer that I get from every single person that I talk to is something along the lines of, oh, I can't tell you that. Okay. I can't tell you why I'm confident it's going to happen, or I can't tell you why I'm optimistic it's going to happen, but I am. Just trust me on that. It is. And I don't get the sense that everyone has gotten together and decided, okay, just tell everybody that it's going to happen, even though we know it's not going to happen. I don't get that sense at all. This is just an organization, as you very well know, that doesn't like to leak what's happening. Russell Westbrook is a person that doesn't like to leak what's happening, and they don't believe it does them any benefit to tell a reporter who's, you know, trying to figure out what's going on, what's going on. They don't want that stuff to get out, and Russell Westbrook certainly doesn't want that stuff to get out. And Russell Westbrook doesn't really tell anybody what he's thinking, so it's hard to figure that stuff out. But I think the skepticism is legitimate. Like, I really think the skepticism is legitimate, especially at this point. It's been over 5 weeks, and Russ hasn't signed that. He's the only designated player exception eligible guy who is yet to sign it, who is eligible this summer and is yet to actually sign the extension or the contract or the free agent contract, whatever it was. I believe what I'm hearing, but I also understand the skepticism. And I keep coming back to that word cautiously. It's why I'm saying cautiously optimistic, because there is some amount of reservation there.
Sure. I have also like been given plenty of indications to think that, you know, that Russ is going to eventually sign that extension. I'm stepping off of it just a bit. And I think we probably need to differentiate between signing an extension and wanting to stay in Oklahoma City. I mean, if he declines the extension, I think before they acquired Paul George, that would have been cause for alarm. I really do. If he had not signed the extension. But with Paul George here, I think there's less reason to panic if he doesn't sign it. And again, this is just kind of life when you have superstar players that can potentially leave your team. You're going to have to deal with these things. If he doesn't sign the 5-year extension, it could be he's angling for a shorter deal in order to maximize future earnings. I mean, I think that's a small possibility, or angling for a no trade clause, which he would have to get on a new contract, not an extension. So I know that, like, there's a big focus on signing the extension to make that commitment. But even if he doesn't sign it, that doesn't mean he's not committed here. It just basically kind of means he wants to keep his options open. I guess it's kind of how I've been looking at it lately.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a number of reasons. That's why it's useless to sit around and guess.
Right.
Could be a number of reasons. Yeah,
we would prefer to know. We would prefer to come on here and say, here is why it hasn't been done. Here's exactly why we think it will be done. But yeah, we're basically kind of just, you know, taking, body language signs for all intents and purposes and coming up and telling, you know, what we think.
It is nice to know, isn't it?
It is. It's reassuring. Yeah. It's certainty is nice. But, you know, if he doesn't sign the extension at all, I don't think it's an indication he wants out of Oklahoma City. I don't think it's that.
No, it doesn't have to be that. At the same time, like, if he doesn't sign the extension, the Thunder are in a weird place. And you know what? A lot of people say, and Zach Lowe was the first person, the first like really smart person who I heard to really, with it, you know, a major platform to say this. Part of the beauty of the Paul George trade is that they unloaded a contract, which could have hurt them in a potential rebuild because it's a little bit of an overpay and it takes up cap space and all that stuff. And if Paul George goes, you still get a year of Paul George for being able to dump Oladipo's long-term salary with Sabonis attached to it. And if Westbrook goes, then you're just in a position where you say, okay, we're starting over, and we're starting over with a GM who has started over before and who has, you know, drafted really well before in a situation where he's had to build up an entire organization before. And you do that again. The Thunder don't have to be in that position, though. I mean, if they don't get off to a really good start and Westbrook is not contractually committed, maybe he's verbally committed. Maybe he says, I'm willing to re-sign, but for some reason he didn't end up taking the extension for, you know, whether he wanted to see his options. And I'm 90% back, but I want to see my options. Or because for some reason that we can't think of, he wants to take less money, or because he wants to help the organization by taking less money, or whatever it is. Like, there are reasons that it could be holding out, and those are speculated reasons, of course.
Right.
But for whatever reason, like, if the Thunder, if this doesn't work and they're off to a slow start and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to make a run at a Western Conference Finals or beyond there, and they're falling back in the Western Conference, and they're a bottom four playoff team again, or something like that, or maybe even worse. Like, that's a position where it's, if Westbrook doesn't give you the security of signing, that's when you really have to consider the trade market for him. You have to consider the trade market for Paul George, and that's the reason why the extension is a big deal. And I realize that most people listening to this, if you're listening to a team specific NBA podcast in August, you probably realize that already. I realize that much, but that's a storyline that I think gets lost when people talk about it in such absolutes. When people say, well, if they just lose those guys, if they lose both those guys next summer, they can start over. Or, oh, if they lose those guys next summer, then they're totally and completely screwed. And when people talk in those absolutes, there are other options here, which there are other ways here in which this can go if the extension doesn't get signed. And I'm not saying that if he doesn't get signed, then Russ gets traded or anything like that. Just saying that the uncertainty really plays on an organization. So it's a dicey situation for the Thunder still. And it's with every day I realize if Russ signs it, then it doesn't matter when he signs it. In all practical terms, it doesn't matter when he signs it. But it's just the people who are nervous. I understand. Like, Thunder fans who are nervous, I understand why they're nervous. I'm not they're not wrong to be nervous.
Yeah, I mean, they've been through this before. That's sort of, for the most part, that's life. I mean, in terms of star players migrating to larger markets, for the most part, that's kind of how it works. So I can understand, you know, where people would love to not have to worry about that. But some of that's just part of pro life, you know, being a fan of a pro basketball team. I mean, that's just what comes with it.
You got anything before we go?
Nothing else at the moment. No, I'm just waiting for some stuff to happen across the league, and, you know, maybe then that'll shake something loose. But for now, I'm just kind of waiting.
Keep waiting, John. You're going to be waiting for a little while.
I'm in a holding pattern.
You can follow John on Twitter. You should follow John on Twitter. He's John M. Hamm, JonMHAMM. You can remember Tuesdays, Thursdays for me. That's when the show is on. I'm going to go back to daily at some point in September. But for now, Tuesdays, Thursdays, because there's just not that much going on other than Mexico City and, sitting here and making massive assumptions about what Russell Westbrook is going to do with the next 5 years of his life. You can head to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there, and leave a review if you're feeling generous. The reviews always help. They help with the ratings. They help with the podcast stuff and the rankings or the ratings or whatever the heck they are. And the 5-star ratings are nice too. If you have questions or comments, you can email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. As I said at the top of the show, I've been on vacation right now from writing. I'm going back to writing on Monday, so I'm going to be back to work then. So the blog is dormant right now, but I'm going to be back to working after the weekend, after a couple of weeks off, which have been very nice, and I've been very happy about it. But you can log on to the site, and you can see that stuff there. You can just follow me on Twitter and see my links that I shoot out there. That is going to do it for today. I will be back on Tuesday with another episode. John, thanks for coming on.
Thanks. Thanks as always.
You're thanking me, man. Aren't you supposed to say you're welcome when I say thanks?
You're welcome, Fred. There, I said it.
That was a good way to end this thing. That was just forgetting how thank you and you're welcome works. All right. Until Tuesday, Locked On Thunder is locking up.